I've spoken before, but never with a microphone, so it's kind of strange. Hi, everyone. My name's Dana. I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is, what was last month? November 23rd. I guess that puts me going on 3 weeks now. So what it was like, what it is like now. That's right? Okay. I started drinking probably when I was 17. And, you know, hit all the parties in high school, did all that fun stuff, running from the cops to the backyards back in the day. Apparently when I do something, I do it all the way because I landed myself in jail and treatment by the time I was 18. Managed to pack it into a good solid 4 months. I was supposed to graduate high school top of my class with scholarships to any school I wanted to go to, and instead I was sitting in jail on April 17th, 1997, knowing all that was gone, and I was fine with it because all that mattered was when I got out the next day, my friends would pick me up and I'd go back to my little apartment and do whatever I wanted. I was very lucky in that when I went to court, my grandmother helped me out and got me a lawyer, and I got put, instead of getting a felony conviction and being stuck with that forever, she got me a good attorney, and they weaseled my way into a treatment program. And as far as I was concerned, I didn't want the treatment. I wanted the, you know, get out of jail free pass where I could go the rest of my life knowing I could still vote. I don't know why that mattered. But I did a year of a treatment program. I rented a sponsor. She gave me some papers to fill out. I filled them out, gave them back to her. I don't even remember her name. I didn't call her once. I'd go to meetings, and since I was only being tested for those outside substances, I could still drink, so I drank a lot. Somehow in that year, I decided getting married was a good idea. Did that. Married a military guy, which meant that we got to move around the world, and when we moved around the world, whatever network of support I had from my family was gone, and I drank a lot. But see, I was okay, because he drank more, which meant that, you know, I was an alcoholic, he was. I'd still kind of believe that. But needless to say that two alcoholics in another country, 19 years old and married, that didn't work out very well. And by the time I was 23, I managed to be married, divorced with two children, and living back at home, which I thought was an accomplishment. So I moved back to little town south of Sarasota, Venice, Florida, started bartending, and it was great because since I was back living at home, you know, I didn't have to worry about the kids at night. You know, they were tucked in. I could go out, you know, come home 4 or 5 in the morning every night, and you know, they didn't know they were sleeping, so I wasn't affecting anybody with my drinking, or so I thought. I remember nights, one particular night, I was out till like 4 or 5 in the morning. You know, I had to go to become friends with the bartender, so when the bar closed, you could still drink. And this particular night, I was so drunk I couldn't walk to my car, but you know, one of my friends, because they're good friends that they are, helped me walk to my car so I could drive home. And I was on the interstate, driving on the interstate. That was a really good idea. And I remember driving this big, giant SUV. And I'm all over the place. And I look over, and there's a state trooper right next to me. I'm going, crap. And in my mind, the problem was that I had to throw up. But if I pull off the interstate to do that, the cop's definitely going to get out and arrest me. So I decided I'm just going to throw up all over myself in the car. It's very cute. It's great. So I did that most of the way home, waited till the trooper pulled somebody else off, and then I pulled over on the side of the road and smelled lovely, I'm sure. I don't think I got a shower when I got home either. When I moved up to Tampa about 4 years ago, I decided I was going to go back to school. And for a while, I wasn't drinking as much because I was determined to get good grades, and to do that I can't drink because I can't do both at the same time. And somewhere around, I think, Gasparilla this year, that stopped. And I started, I'm not really sure if anything actually triggered it or if it just was my alcoholic tendencies deciding that they wanted to take full form, but Gasparilla this year was not pretty. I somehow got really drunk and wandered around town by myself for 5 hours with no phone and none of my stuff, and nobody knew where I was until finally my boyfriend found me, and I was belligerent and violent, and he had to basically restrain me and put me in the car and drive me home. And that pattern continued. It was, drinking wasn't fun anymore. And I would drink so much to where I would lose control of myself. And over the summer, it happened again and again. And then, an alcoholic in a relationship goes really well. So I thought it'd be a good idea that, it's his fault, I'm sure. So I started cheating on him. And then I started working again because I hadn't been working while I was here. So I decided, if I'm working, maybe I'll fill my time with something else. So I'll go bartend. That worked out great because then I could drink while working. And then when I got off work, I could drink some more. And it didn't matter that I got home with no money in my pocket because, I had a good time. And it got to the point where I was getting home at 4 in the morning, 5 in the morning, 6 in the morning, 7 in the morning. And that went on for a period of months. In about the middle of October, I started not being able to get my kids to school on time. And I realized that it was because I'd been up drinking all night. I couldn't get up in the morning to drive them to school. What kind of mom does that? Wasn't pretty. So I think there was no one catastrophic event that made me wake up one morning and say, hey, maybe I should, do something about this. It was the everyday, every day feeling like crap and every day saying, why did I do that? And every day saying, this day is going to be different, that made me wake up one morning. And I remember sitting in the shower. It was 9:30 in the morning. Kids were already an hour and a half late to school. And I was going to have to go in there and tell the office they had another dentist appointment because their teeth really need help. So I was sitting in the shower, and I just, that was, I guess we call it our moment of clarity. And it stands out to me as a distinct moment when I sat there and I was just, this can't go on. I can't do this anymore. This unmanageability was just glaring me in the face. But of course, good alcoholic that I was, I didn't go to a meeting that day. I actually had a friend who was in recovery, and I texted him, and I said, hey, this AA thing, was it worth it? And he surprised me. He said it was the best thing I'd ever done. And I said, really? What do you mean the best thing you'd ever done? I thought it was just better than the alternative. And he said, no. He said, at first it was because I had no other choice. And then it was better than the alternative. He's like, but now, 4 years later, because it's the best thing I've ever done. He goes, I wouldn't trade my sobriety for anything. And I was floored. I was just like, what do you mean? You mean you like this stuff? So, once again, being the good alcoholic I am, I didn't go to a meeting that day either. I only sat on it for 24 hours, so it wasn't terrible. And Friday, October 23rd, I think it was. Yeah, it was. It was Friday, October 23rd. I woke up, and from the time I was in treatment, I learned absolutely nothing. I faked the whole program then, but all that did give me the knowledge of how to come back. And I woke up and I said, I need a meeting. So I went online to the website and I found the meeting schedule, but it was on my mobile phone. It was hard to read. So I ended up somewhere in Drew Park to a old building with a homeless guy laying out front and nobody there. I'm like, this is not right. So I didn't give up, though, because I figured if I'd gone that far, actually driven there, then maybe I belonged there. So I called the central office, and they said, okay, you know, go down Kennedy, take a right on Tampania. There's a place there, it's called YANA. So I got to the Friday YANA meeting. And those are always interesting meetings. People show up and they're funny. But the Friday YANA meeting, and I wasn't going to leave without doing what I came to do, so I got my white chip. And everybody in that room said something that was talking about me. And so I knew I belonged. When I got my white chip, a couple of people came up right after the meeting. It was Hillary and Dawn and Heather. I think that was it. And they came immediately and gave me phone numbers, and I actually used them. I called them. I talked to Heather and Lindsay and Dawn and everybody the first few days. They were laughing at me. They told me I was crazy. So within a couple of days, I asked for a sponsor, and we started working the steps. So we got through step one, step two, and step three, and then step four came. Step four, you have to do something. So I did, I'd say, about 90% of my step four, and I was talking to my sponsor about it, and she looked at it, she goes, you only have half a page for your mother. This clearly wasn't thorough enough. So she gave it back to me. But I'd want to be thorough, so I sat on it. And then one night, all of my friends were out celebrating our moot court tournament thing, and I thought, you know, I was isolating at the time, too. I hadn't called my sponsor or gone to a meeting in 4 or 5 days, and thought it'd be a great idea to go meet my friends at the bar, which is why I'm at 3 weeks now. But I came back, and I see hope, and I'm willing to do what I have to do. And I know that I look around and I want what you guys have, because you're happy. And you like each other, I think. But that's what's kept me coming back, is I look around and I see that I want what you guys have. And I think that's it. Thank you.